This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Welcome everyone. It's amazing to be in the house of the Lord. No? Like, he's just always like that. If there's people and we worship him, he's not going to stay away. And it's just incredible. You know, just to see your hearts this morning, just seeking Jesus. That is so precious, and God loves it when we seek him. So we're busy with James. Yes, that is true. We are still in James. We're almost there, okay? Just hold on. We're almost there. It's faith that works, okay? So James is a practical guy, okay? He tells us that if you say you believe in Jesus, this is how your life should look like, okay? Not that you should do this and then you can believe in Jesus, okay? So let's not get it wrong, okay? We don't have to work to do the works so that Jesus will accept us. No, no ways, okay? But if we say we do believe, then we want to work. You know, it's like an outflow. It's like, of course I want to do these things. Of course I want to look different than the world so that people can see Jesus. Okay, so we've been talking about that. So hold on to your seats. Today is not different. Okay, we're going to learn more about how it looks like in the world in our lives if we follow Jesus. We're going to read from James 4. If you have your Bible app, you can follow there. I prefer my Bible. Sorry, Stephen, but you can follow in your app and then also make your notes there. We're going to start from verse 1 until 10. Okay, good. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. Love that. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Sure, what a scripture. The question for today. The question for today is why are you fighting? Who of you have been in a fight with someone? For a moment I thought, what holy people we have here. You know, like when I was little, my sister and I, we're 4 years apart. And I'm telling you, we could fight. I don't know, sibling rivalry, I don't know what you call it, but we were like very good at it, you know, I remember driving in the car and my parents would be in front and we at the back and we fighting, you know, and then my mom would be like, we're going to stop this car now and then you must get out and we're going to leave you here, and then we're quiet for the next 10 minutes and then whatever, then we go again. So fighting is part of our lives. I think if we look at the news, there's always some other fighting thing going on. If it isn't in politics, then it is at a school. If it isn't in a school, it's in our families. I have friends that their family is totally broken up because of fights and things that they've had. And It's part of our lives, right? We come across it many times, but or husband and wives, we quarrel and fight. My husband and I had a quarrel last week, you know? So it happens. It's like, it's part of our lives. But when we look at the word, James is telling us why we're fighting. You know, and it's so good to read, like, why are we fighting? You know, because it becomes so natural, you know, to fight about some things, especially in marriage, you know, or in with my children, or with siblings, you know, or with your friends. I had a friend, we literally shouted at each other, like, Derek and I have never shouted at each other, okay? But my friend and I, we literally shouted at each other. I mean, how bad is that, you know? And well, it's not probably not that bad. Some of you look like, I do that every day. But anyways. So what causes the fights? And James is very clear. No? He asks the question. He says, what causes fighting and quarrels among you? So just for us to realize that there was fights and quarrels in those times in the church. Because he's writing this letter to the church. So what's so refreshing about this scripture is that James is writing to all the churches, right? And he's saying, what is causing the fights among you? So many times we look at the Bible and we look at a church and we think they were perfect. You know, they had it all sorted out, and we're like, oh, we just want to be like the churches, the first churches. But then we read the word, and we say, oh, James is saying to them, don't think you're better than others. You know, we've learned that in, I think, Pilani preached about that. Don't think you're better than others. Don't let the poor sit there and the rich sit there. They did that. Why would he write that to them, you know? And he also said, watch your tongue. Look how you're speaking about each other, what's happening. And now he's saying, why are you fighting? So in other words, those churches, you know, where the Holy Spirit came and people fall down and got healed, and we just read all those amazing stuff and we're like, oh, we want that. But then we see, oh, they were also fighting among each other. There were things that needed to be sorted out. And now James is saying, why are you fighting? What is causing these fights and quarrels among you? Okay? So if you want to make this real practical, no? We don't always do this, but think of someone that you are fighting with at the moment. Maybe they don't even know about it, but in your mind, you are fighting with them. You're like, ah, I don't agree, whatever, but maybe not even saying it. Or maybe think of a fight you had this week or last week. Maybe you're more holy than I am, and then you had fights 2 months ago or here. But just think of something, you know, to make this more practical, that we can think, like, why am I fighting? What is he saying? He's saying, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Now, he's not talking about the desires of the church. He's talking about in me, my desires. They're battling. Okay? So, what does that mean? He says, you desire, but do not have, so you kill. Okay, great. Guys, I hope no one has killed someone here. Okay? So, he's not talking of literally killing something or something. You don't kill an animal if you, you know, anger of someone. But he's not talking about killing someone. He's saying, I think you can remember, Jesus said, if you are angry at someone in your heart, that's like murder, you know? But also, when we look at the Old Testament, what happened there when Cain was angry that God didn't accept his offering, but he accepted Abel's offering, what did he do? He killed him. Okay? What, that was a fight, really. I don't think he killed him in his sleep. I don't know. It doesn't say. You know, but that caused a fight because the desires that was battling in him, what was that desire? He wanted God's acceptance. And his jealousy. Yeah, we're going to get to that. Yvonne, we're almost there. Okay. So he says, you desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. In other words, I want what I want. I'm right. I want to get this. In other words, what does it mean? I'm selfish. Huh? Yes. Fights are caused by our selfishness. Not because, you know, necessarily that I'm right, but because I want to be right. You know? And the thing is, now I've lost so many of you. I can just see it. You're thinking like, no, but I was right. And it isn't because I'm selfish. Like, and I did the same this week. I was, I told the ladies on Wednesday, I was just praying and I had such an amazing time with the Lord. And then all of a sudden, the Lord gave me that scripture again that, you know, there's something in your heart and so on. And I said, Lord, what is in my heart? Search me. And he searched me and he said, you're selfish. And of course, immediately I said, no, I'm not. You know, like the faces I saw here now, like it's like, no, I'm not. I'm not selfish. Like, I'm just. I'm just, you know, like this is just right. And I'm just noble, you know, and I just want to do things the right way. And I'm not selfish. But then God showed me what I'm selfish in. And then I realized that it wasn't necessarily that I was selfish in that thing, but it's because I wanted my way. Okay? And that causes fights. And that causes quarrels. And that causes things because I want what I want. Okay? And I so want it that I'm willing to fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Okay? I love that scripture. Okay? I love that scripture as an intercessor. As loving to pray. God says, ask. Ask. In other scriptures, he says, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Seek and you will find. Okay, so God always wants us to ask. But then James is like, hello, you adult. Yeah, he says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. You ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And for long, I thought, I must just pray God's will. I must just pray God's will. And yes, that it does mean that. But then I realized James is saying, you're having fights. Okay, so Pumala and I are fighting. You know, she wants me to drive a red car. I want to drive a blue car. And we're fighting about this thing or whatever the fight is about. And now we're fighting so much, and I want what I want, and I'm selfish. So I'm praying, Lord, you know, just help me to get this blue car, you know. Not because I need it, not because anything, just because I wanted to prove a point to Pumla, say, for instance. You know? Or to because I really don't want that car, I want what I want. Let's get another example. You want to spend it on your own pleasure. So say you come, this is a hectic example, but say there was a lady that came for prayer one day, and she said, please, can you pray for me? And they're like, yeah, sure, what can we pray for? And she said, please pray that my boyfriend will leave his wife so that we can get married. You know, now that is a good example of praying for your own pleasures, right? So that's very selfish. That's very selfish. That's like, I'm praying like that marriage must be broken up so that I can have my pleasure with the guy that I want, you know? And at your faces, I can see you all agree that that's not right, but we all do that. You know, imagine something that you pray for. Why are you praying that? To get what you want? Is it a selfish thing that it's just because I want to look better or I want something different or even I want to look Christian, more Christian-like, you know? Or I want to look more holy or it can be anything, you know? So when we pray, don't stop praying now, okay? Don't stop praying now, but just check, what am I praying? And especially if I'm fighting with someone, you know? What am I praying? What do I want? And is it really what God wants, or is it just what I want? Okay, that is why it's so good to always say, God, search me. Show me what is in my heart. And God is so faithful that he doesn't show us all at the same time, otherwise, I will feel bad, you know? But it takes one thing at a time. Okay, you're all with me? Okay, there's good news coming. Well, not yet. He says, you adulterous people. Yo, that's strong words, huh? You adulterous people. What is adultery? What is that? It means that if I'm married, I'm going for someone else as well. Outside of marriage. Now remember, we are in covenant relationship with God, right? The day we gave our lives to Jesus, we said, yeah, it's you and me, Lord. We're in a relationship. You know, I'm in love with you. I want to do what you want me to do. But then if we're adultery, if we are committing adultery, we're also having a relationship with the world. Yes. Now imagine this. I'm having lunch or supper with my husband. I say to him, oh, I love you so much and you're amazing and there's no better husband than you. I'm sorry, my love, I'm just going out with that other guy quickly. We're going for supper. Intimate supper arrangement, date that I have tonight. What do you think he's going to think? Huh? But in our relationship with God, that's fine. You know, but God is calling us back to say, hey, I want that relationship with you. That's why James is writing us these things to say, hey, don't be like the world. Come, let's have a relationship with Jesus. Not because, like, he wants you to not enjoy life and to be hard or whatever. No, because that's where life is. That's where you find joy. That's where you find peace. The real joy, the real peace, the real wisdom, as we heard last week, right? Okay, let's go on. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Very strong words. If you choose the world, you become an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? What does that mean? He's saying, I'm jealous for your love. I'm jealous for what I've put in you. I want you to come to me. Do you know that story of Hosea where the woman, she just, you know, wanted things and she went to many different husbands to get all the stuff from, or not husbands, men. You know, she was like a prostitute, just getting things from other people, you know, and then God said, you know what, you thought that you were getting from those guys were from them, but it was from me anyways. So I'm going to remove all those guys and I'm going to send you into the wilderness where there's nothing so that you can realize all that you have actually do come from me. All that you have actually do come from God. And what happened there? He said, you spoke tenderly to her. He spoke tenderly to her. Do you know what sometimes happens in our lives? Everything gets taken away. You're and it's bad, you know? But God says, at least now you can hear me. That I can speak tenderly to you. Because there's not things that you hold on to. We sang it this morning, you know? There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. God is calling us to that place where we can hear, where he can speak tenderly to us. Okay? Away from the world and the desires and the things that, you know, entrap us and get us busy and stuff. Derek and I, we loved the Cricket World Cup. You know, I don't know if you love the Cricket World Cup, but we were so passionately watching that thing, I can tell you, you know. And it was, now after it's done, we realize how much time we wasted, you know, and how it distracted us from so many other stuff that we could have done. It's such a simple thing. It's not like they're swearing or, you know, doing stuff on the cricket. It's not like it's like wrong and it's evil, but it stole our time completely. You know, it distracted us from other things that we could have done. Well, he was working also, but anyways. See, I'm trying to justify myself. Anyways. Good. So now when we look at the fights, what is the fight? What is the causes of the fights? It's the desires within us, right? Selfishness. And then for our own pleasures. It's for our own pleasures. That's what causes fights. Okay, so next time you fight with your friend or your wife or your husband or your children or whatever, just ask yourself, why am I fighting? What's the motives behind my fighting here? And if you're like me, you probably go on fighting for another 10 minutes before you stop. But get to that place where you're like, oh, what's going on here? And I tell you, there's not a better place to be like, I'm so sorry. It was totally me. I just wanted my own way. You know? You get people that actually like it just to fight, just for the fun of it, to make people angry. You know, I don't think that's godly. I've been there, done that. Okay. But he gives us more grace. Now, this is the good news. Okay? He gave us a question. Then he gave us the answers. Probably not what we wanted to hear, but so good for us to know it, right? But then he comes and he gives us some promises. He says, God gives us grace. Okay, so tomorrow if you fight, don't be like, I'm the worst human being on this world and I'm so selfish and it's all about me. Now God says, I give you grace. I give you grace. Okay, if it wasn't for God's grace, not one of us would be here. Okay, God comes and he gives us grace. He says, that is why scripture says, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So what is this actually all about? When we fight, it's our pride. The selfishness, our own pleasures, whatever, but whenever we fight, it's our pride. Okay? I always think I'm done with pride now. I've got it. And then God comes like, last night again, I had to repent of pride. You know, it's a thing that constantly we have to fight, and we're going to see it now. See it. He says, submit yourselves to God. Okay? Come on. Submit yourselves to God. Come under his covering. Come under what he says. Come to where he leads. Submit yourself to him. We sang it so beautifully. Just open to him. Just open what you have to him. Say, Lord, it's yours. I submit under your command. I submit under your Father love, under your covering. I submit to you. Okay? And then resist the devil. Why is he saying that? Would he say resist the devil because the devil is standing there saying, can I come close to you? No, it's because he's here. He's all the time here telling us stuff, you know. He's maybe telling Noku, yo, Noku, just tell that guy, see what he did again, and you want that, so just don't do it. You know, it's just coming with us with things that, yo, that was unfair, and all that kind of stuff. And the word is saying, resist him. Say, no, devil, but don't let the devil come. But if the enemy comes with its accusations, and we talked about it at our women's meeting this Wednesday, it's just like the devil is coming with its accusations, and it's telling you all these bad things and what. But you have to take a stand and say, no. And I told them how I drove in a car once, and I shouted at the enemy. You know, I get angry at it because we think it's us, but it's not. He's coming with all his thoughts, and we say, stop it in Jesus' name. You know? And then we sang this beautiful song this morning. I'm called. I'm healed. You know? Speak that because that's the truth of who we are. Don't listen to all these accusations and things that is coming from the enemy. But now the same with these fights and with this prideful thing. When you want to fight, when you want to show someone that you're better and you're going to win this fight, just be like, I resist you, devil. And I'm saying to you, at that moment, you might feel like, no, I must fight now. Or you're going to feel like, no, I must show this person now who's right, you know. Or I must now put my foot down in this situation. And when the Holy Spirit comes and say, no, you know, sometimes we feel like, no, but I don't want to be weak now. I don't want to stand back. But it's exactly then when you resist the enemy and say, pride, go. Pride, go. And it's so difficult just to stop then and say, I'm so sorry, I'm wrong. I'm so sorry I'm making this about me now. Or just to keep quiet. If you don't even know why you're wrong or what's going on, or just keep quiet. I sometimes say to Derek, just give me a minute. You know, it's like, I just need to get my thoughts together, like, what's going on here now? Then you just get your thoughts where it needs to be, you know? Okay. And then I love this next scripture. It says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. I've got many favorite scriptures in the Word, but this probably gets it, you know. This is probably top 10, you know. Come near to God and he will draw near to you. It's a promise. Okay? And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I've tried that, it doesn't work. You know? But are you drawing near to God because you want to? Or you want to? Or it's just a good thing to do? Or are you really seeking him? There's a difference. Okay, where you come and you're just like, Lord, I'm just like before you. I'm coming to you because my life's not working out, because that went wrong, and I know I've messed up. I know it's my fault, or people have done these things to me, and I don't know how to deal with these things anymore. And just seeking him. So, Lord, I actually just want you. And when I say, Lord, not my will, yours be done, I actually just mean it. When I draw near to you, I don't come because I think I got it all. I don't come because I think I've conquered the world, I've read enough scriptures, I've fasted enough. No, I'm just coming to you because I want to know who you are and because I can't do these things. Okay? It's always a good place when you draw near to God because there's just nothing else. Sometimes a bit late, you know, in the sense of you had to go through all these things before you went to God. But God's never going to say, oh, sorry, you missed it now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always going to stand with arms wide open. There's one day when he's going to say, sorry, you missed it now. Read about that, you know, with the virgins. 10 was ready, 5 was ready, 5 wasn't ready. Okay, that time is coming, and that's why we now can draw near to God. Because he will draw near to me, to us. And God just once showed me this picture, and I always share it, that when we draw near to God, like I just create this little step close to God, and God comes. You know, and then I give this little step, like I don't even know if I'm really stepping closer. I'm just coming with my heart, and then God comes. And he comes with his love, and he comes with his gentleness. God's never just going to come over you, okay? It's always going to come gently. Okay, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. What in the world does that mean? It just means that I realize and I see where I'm at. Okay? I realize where I'm at. I see like I've messed up. I've just been following my own things. I see that I've been so prideful. I see that this world, I've been following after that, and I've missed out on God's love because I didn't draw near to him. Huh? Isn't that precious? So God is saying, wail. Oh, James is saying, wail. Mourn. Let me ask you a question. When last did your sin lead you to tears? When last did your sin lead you to tears? Not because you're the greatest sinner now, just because like, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Like, yo, I messed up again, so I just need you. Lord, I repent of these things. I need you. I'm coming closer to you. And then James ends up with this scripture, and he says, humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourselves. So he's saying, come, wail, mourn, weep before God. Humble yourselves. Don't think you're something. Humble yourself. Don't come with the pride that we have with each other. Humble yourself. You know, I had an opportunity last night to humble myself, to cry with smut going to this, you know. That's not a beautiful picture, you know. But I'm like, do I want to look nice or do I want to come to God and say, Lord, just I need you. Just I need you, you know? And when you humble yourself, what is God saying? What will he do? God always comes with a promise. If he gives us a command or he gives us an instruction, he always comes with a promise. Isn't that incredible? It's not like, do this and maybe, you know, we'll see if you did it good enough. No, he says, humble yourself and he will lift you up. In other words, stop trying to lift yourself up with these fights and being selfish and prideful. Because when you humble yourself, God will lift you up. Amen? Let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.